An Invitation to Forever by Anna Tikvar. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18, verse 27. Chapter 1. Frigid Black Water. It was dark. Everything seemed so cold and dark. Earlier in the day, thick clouds had moved in, and now it was a moonless night without stars. The black, murky water rolling towards the harbour front crashed noisily against the concrete barrier. Wrought iron lamps lining the boardwalk shed an eerie glow into the approaching fog, but it was barely noticeable to the young woman slumped against the wooden railing. "I never wanted to teach grade 8 in the first place," Sandra Carrington thought miserably, watching the restless, churning waves. "And yet that's been the only opportunity I've had for the past 2 weeks. Everything has gone wrong since I moved to Nova Scotia, and I still haven't seen my brother." With a heavy sigh, Sandra thought back on all the trouble Mitchell and Ty had instigated. "I can't control them. It's as simple as that," she told herself. "They've taken over the class. I can hardly believe how many students I sent to the office this week. They've been throwing chalk brushes across the classroom, swearing out loud, openly cheating on tests, shooting spitballs whenever my back was turned. It's been a nightmare." A multitude of if-onlys went through her head. After being summoned to speak to the principal at the end of the day, Sandra had a premonition she wouldn't be asked to supply teach at any school in Stirling, Nova Scotia. "Sandra," Miss Ferrier had said regretfully, looking up with steady brown eyes, "I don't understand why you're having such trouble with this class. Their regular teacher says they're quite an easy group to work with." After a meaningful pause, she had added, "I wonder if you might want to consider a course on classroom management. I have a registration form here, if you're interested." The suggestion had been pleasantly given, but miserably received. Sandra knew she would no doubt benefit from such a course, but it wouldn't be offered until the summer, and it would cost a fair deal. Having subsisted on only an irregular supply teaching income since September, she was already struggling just to keep up with her rent and the repayment of university loans. Watching an old, dimly lit fishing boat chug into dock, Sandra sighed again. It was early May. "There are only 2 months left of the school year," she thought despairingly, "and 4 months of my lease. What if I'm not called in again? Miss Ferrier thinks I'm a failure. If only I could have had a chance to teach the younger children. I've always done well with the early grades. But that hasn't happened once all year, and now she'll probably inform the board that I'm unable to manage a classroom. Who will give me a call now? Will I be evicted if I can't pay my rent?" Turning to look into the distance, Sandra couldn't see the lights of Margaret's Manor. Usually from where she now stood on the boardwalk, she can see the lights clearly, beckoning softly, high above the subdivisions below. That was where she lived, in the far too expensive fourth-floor apartment. Oh, it was lovely and new, with an indoor pool, exercise room and quaint stone courtyard. Gorgeous country gardens encircled the patio and had been in full bloom when she'd first moved there in August. As advertised on the internet, it was close to the harbour and had fantastic views. Had she been given the full-time position she had been offered, it would have been the perfect place to live. But at the last minute, after she had signed the rental agreement, the teacher she was to relieve had decided to return. "They've let me down so badly," she thought. "They promised me a job. At the very least, couldn't they have given me a steady year of supply teaching?" A lively group of girls ambled past as Sandra straightened up to wipe the salty mist off her glasses. Sliding them back into place, she watched as they walked close together, laughing and talking loudly, sharing dinner from the cardboard boxes they held in their hands. The smell of French fries and battered fish wafted tantalizingly behind the girls. It smelled so good. But takeouts were a luxury Sandra could not afford, at least not any more. Unnoticed in the gloomy shadows, she slouched back against the railing. Only 5'4", Sandra had never been an imposing figure, and now she was slimmer than ever, almost too thin. The short dark hair that she kept carefully straightened was becoming unruly in the damp, moist air. Her pretty blue eyes were filling with tears. "It's not fair," she thought. "I struggled through university in a tiny, claustrophobic basement apartment so that I could get a decent job, live in a nice place, eat out at restaurants when I felt like it, and enjoy life. But here I am, 2 years later, still struggling." Loneliness flooded over her. Last August, she had left everyone she knew in Ontario and driven east to Stirling, Nova Scotia, hoping to be reacquainted with her brother. They hadn't seen each other for 18 years. Laurie hadn't even come to her mother's funeral last year, He'd been on a business trip to China. A fantastic flower arrangement had been sent with his name attached, but it didn't compensate for his failure to be there himself. Since moving out east, Sandra had often made plans with Laurie to get together, but on every occasion he had cancelled out. Laurie had cancelled again just last night. It was always the same. Something more important came up. Laurie was always so busy. "Why don't you care about me?" she whispered forlornly across the bay. "I'm only here in Nova Scotia because of you." Sandra had never found an answer to that question, and tonight she wondered if she ever would. For the most part, through all the hard knocks life had dealt her, Sandra had maintained a friendly, positive outlook. But there were times, such as now, when life seemed almost unbearably painful. There were times when hope seemed like a pathetic delusion. Is there any point to life when it hurts this much? She wondered. Looking down from the wooden railing, Sandra watched the waves roll in, one after another. The frigid black water was so dark, the heavy mist was creeping closer. Now she could only see 30 yards or so into the distance. "I wonder how long it takes for hypothermia to set in," she mused. 3 young teens came rushing past. 2 of them were racing on skateboards. The other, who was on foot, was trying to keep pace, holding tightly to the leash of a large brown Labrador. "I can't run this fast," he panted loudly to his friends. "Rambo's trying to catch up to you." Turning to watch, Sandra hoped no one would get hurt. Always instinctively a teacher, she considered telling them to be careful, but decided they weren't likely to listen. When they reached the end of the boardwalk, one teen kick-flipped his skateboard, landing perfectly, while the other did a grind down the handrail. Sandra breathed a sigh of relief when the skateboarder stopped to wait for their friend to catch up. As the boys ventured off into the shroud of fog, with the Labrador vying for the lead, Sandra turned back towards the water. Gloomy thoughts filled her mind. "If I swim out far enough," she told herself, "no one would see me or rescue me. But what if," she pondered fearfully, "what if I got out there and changed my mind?" Even as she contemplated such a foolish end, Sandra knew she would never be so reckless. Still she wondered, would that be the end? The final end of everything, or is there something else? Out of the corner of her eye, Sandra noticed a scrawny cat slinking through the shadows. "Tiger," she thought anxiously, recalling her own little tabby at home. Who would look after Tiger? What if no one knew I was missing? What if Tiger had no one to feed him? I couldn't do that to Tiger. The cold ocean spray was seeping through her coat. Morbid thoughts had chilled her to the bone. Beginning to shiver, Sandra couldn't stand still any longer. Moving despondently away from the railing, she headed home. At least Tiger would be happy to see her.